This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Siva. So, unlike what 50 Shades of Grey might want us to believe, sexual intercourse during pain is not always a desirable thing. In fact, it might be a sign of a medical condition or just a sign that a change of pace might be required. Dr. Martha Lee, clinical sexologist, illuminates the matter. Welcome back, Dr. Martha. It's been a while since we last spoke to you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Dr. Martha, is pain during intercourse, a common complaint that you hear of?
Yes, it is common. When you talk about pain during sex, there's this term called dyspareunia, which is a general term that means all kinds of pain. So I have worked with a lot of women who have vaginismus. So that's the most common complaint I have, followed by men who have pain on their penis because of tight foreskin.
Okay. What can you tell us about vaginismus?
Okay, it's a condition where the muscles of the vagina will contract involuntarily because of a fear of pain, making penetration difficult or impossible.
Okay, and does it affect the woman more or the man more? In vaginismus, yeah. Of course, it's the woman. But just pain during intercourse, is it experienced mostly by men or women?
I hear a lot more from women because even statistics show that about 9.3% of females experience pain, higher for those people who are younger or inexperienced. It has a lot to do with the fact that for us, when we have sex, it's internal. Mm-hmm. And for men, just less complicated biologically.
Okay. Is it something that is considered normal, especially for the young and the inexperienced?
Yeah, it's actually very common. It's quite common. It could be due to lack of knowing their own body, the position, the angle. It could be because of vaginal dryness. Many, many reasons. But of course, there's also, of course, physical aspects of it. Besides vaginismus, they may have other conditions like endometriosis, like gynecological conditions.
Yeah.
There's also, not many people know this, there's also vulvodynia, which is pain inside the vagina. And there's vulval vestibulitis, which is the inflammation of the glands in the opening of the vagina. So if there's inflammation or irritation, all these can cause pain, especially. So it's actually generally more common for women.
At what point should it become a concern?
It should become a concern when the person has symptoms of abnormally heavy bleeding, blood-stained discharge, constant exhaustion, stomach pain, nausea. A lot of women I know, friends, they put up with very bad pain during their period and then just around or during their period and just dismiss it as period pain. But when they go for checkout, a lot of times they have cysts, fibroids, endometriosis. And when you have pain in the genital region, pelvic region, then, of course, you wouldn't want to have sex. You wouldn't feel sexual.
In the short term, could there be other reasons as well? I.e. an infection,
yes,
or something?
Yes. Say if they have yeast infection or any kind of bacterial infection, even penetration will be uncomfortable, painful. Because what's happening is, with the penetration, the act itself actually pushes the bacteria deeper into the body.
Mm-hmm.
So if the person is already feeling pain, they really need to be seeing a doctor to have a thorough checkup, be on medication, let the body recover and heal, get rid of the infection. Otherwise, with sex, it goes deeper in the body and it can actually become more serious.
Okay, so the bacteria sort of gets into your system and that could be a problem.
Yeah.
For inexperienced couples, Dr. Martha, what are some of the tips that you may have that could assist with the problem, especially for newlyweds, I suppose?
Yeah, so sometimes we need to understand that some of the pain has nothing to do with sexual experience, but when it comes to pain because of the position, of course, the woman on top position can really help. This is when she can control the movement, she can readjust her body if there's pain or discomfort, and she can control the thrusting, make it less deep, and she can control the speed. So some of the other things she could do is also find positions besides woman on top where there's less pressure on the sore areas. So maybe like spooning can help. Even noticing when the pain is more likely to happen. Mm-hmm. If the person says for having cyst fibroids and all that. So noticing the time of day or even time of month can help. So when someone has a fear of pain or has a history of pain, then they are focusing on pain, they are afraid of pain. So maybe shifting the focus to pleasure, excitement can help lessen the pain.
Does it all have to do with lubrication at the end of the day?
Not just lubrication. It could be physical. It could be even emotional. Of course, lubrication helps a lot. Mm-hmm. Even when we talk about lubrication, there's really a myth or a lot of, you know, like misconception that as long as you spend more time on foreplay, the woman should be lubricated enough. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it becomes an ego thing where the men say, if I'm good enough, why would you need artificial lubrication?
Right.
What's wrong with me? When maybe some women just can't produce a lot of lubrication because of their nature of their body, their hormones, maybe because of stress, the food we eat, that's causing these problems with our hormones and therefore our lubrication. So some women are just, no matter how aroused they are, they're just not very lubricated. So if we can start getting people to understand it's not necessarily lubrication equals arousal, mm-hmm. It's not that the woman doesn't know that she should get lubrication. Sometimes it's the man who doesn't allow or want her to use lubrication and she's just suffering. So she's the one in pain and he cannot feel how much pain she's in.
Right. So it's a male ego thing to a large extent. Or they almost feel like, you know, they're failing on their part.
Yeah. You can say it's ego. You can say it's because of lack of sex education as well in our culture.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes really sad because something that can start off being really small, like vaginal dryness, can end up becoming pain during sex, can end up being sexual phobia, sexual aversion, and even the relationship breaking down.
You know, I'm just curious, how would a topic like this be introduced in reproductive and health education?
You know, what kind of messages we send out in health education also depends on a lot of things. How comfortable we are as a society in talking about sex. So something like vaginal dryness can really push some buttons of people who don't really understand and therefore they don't really want to, they don't think like, you know, it's important to talk about it at all angles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough because a lot of people just have years and years of pain or discomfort, unhappiness. And then by the time they come to see me, it's almost sometimes they are on the verge of breaking up.
Mm-hmm. How do you help couples like these?
I listen. I try to get them to understand. A lot of my work is like a private investigator, trying to find out the root cause. And sometimes when we uncover the root cause, say vaginal pain from the beginning, sometimes they hear the problem, they hear the root cause, they know the solution now, but the emotions behind all that, the pain, the drama, the anger, frustration, resentment, is sometimes something that they cannot resolve. And sometimes I can't do much with regards to that because it's talking about it helps, but if they don't want to let go of that pain, it's very difficult also.
Must be quite a hard job, isn't it? Trying to, you know, get to the root of this problem. As you said, it becomes a very emotional affair after a while.
Yes, it is challenging when you look at the root cause and it just boils down to ignorance or lack of knowing. I mean, I always tell people this, you cannot blame them because you don't know what you don't know and you don't know and therefore you were trying to figure out in your own ways. And it's limited what you know and what you can try.
Mm-hmm.
And so I only can applaud their efforts. So then when they come to me and they learn that there was so much more that they could have done, they could have tried. And they often, lament that, they really have been sitting on it for too long.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I suppose, when we come from a society that does not really talk about these things, isn't it?
Yes, whether it's religion or culturally. I mean, even in Singapore, you would think it's very modern, but a lot of people say they don't talk about sex to their friends, they don't talk about sex to anybody. I'm the first person in their entire life they have ever said anything about sex.
Yeah.
And they come in and they're shy, they're awkward, and then they know they have to push through that discomfort because they're paying me for my time and they really want to have some answers.
Yeah.
So it helps that I'm trained and I am so comfortable talking about sex. So that gives them the space to really just be direct with me and just use whatever term they're comfortable with using. There's really no need to suffer in pain. I think that's the biggest message I want to share, because there's pain, go and get a checkup. And if it's not physical, then maybe it's emotional or psychological, maybe it's something else. Then there's help available easily. There's no need to think that, you know, that there's any honor in that.
On the line with me is Dr. Martha Lee. She's a clinical sexologist based in Singapore. We're discussing sexual intercourse and pain. When we come back, I want to find out exactly how much emotional factors contribute to pain during intercourse. That's coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon, it's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasudhi. You know, if you've experienced pain during sexual intercourse, sometimes this has been going on for a long time. It's probably affecting your relationship, you know, with your partner. I mean, how much have you spoken to your partner about this? And that's exactly what we're discussing with Dr. Martha Lee. She's a clinical sexologist. We're discussing sexual intercourse and pain. Dr. Martha, how much do emotional factors contribute to pain during intercourse?
Very much so. You know, for the woman who's, you know, being penetrated, actually she feels a lot more internally, it's internal. And one of the things I sometimes hear is women complaining how the man wants to have sex after fighting. So the woman is emotionally and physically withdrawn, and yet he wants sex, whether it's makeup sex. So pain can happen as a result of just not knowing. A woman really does need to feel safe, needs to feel relaxed. Otherwise, you just force her to have makeup sex, then it can cause pain. But then, of course, in a relationship, if there's emotional or psychological abuse, things like that can actually really impact how open, expressive a person can be in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Earlier on, we also spoke about how men can experience pain during intercourse. Do you just want to shed more light on that? I mean,
yes.
Do men, and you know, men don't usually talk about these things.
Yes, I think men have it very hard too, you know. Mm-hmm. They are expected to always be strong and independent and always ready to go. And they also can experience pain during sex. So if they have skin disorders on the penis, like eczema, that can cause pain. Sometimes a woman's vagina is too tight. She's not able to relax. Lubrication can help. He can have pain on his penis. Some other causes of pain could be thrust. If the woman has an IUD, that's misplaced in the body, or say even after childbirth, the stitch that's left in the vagina can cause pain on the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has Peyronie's disease, this is a disorder where the penis is just bent in a very awkward angle because of trauma to the penis. That can be pain during sex as well. But the one that I hear more common is actually foreskin pain. And I get a lot of people who are sexually inexperienced coming, people who have never had sex their entire life. They only try to have sex after marriage,
mm-hmm.
and they don't realize because they never tried that their foreskin doesn't pull back properly during penetration, and then they have pain. And because it's their foreskin, it's part of them, they're really afraid to have anything done to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they end up not consummating their marriage for a long time.
There is also
carry on. Yeah, so anything that's painful is not normal. We don't have to suffer in pain. So just get help. Know that it's common. Know that your medical doctor is not going to freak out. It's probably so common. They've heard everything. and there's no way they can actually put someone off. So no need to be embarrassed. If there's pain, just seek help. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
Do you work closely with gynecologists and urologists?
Yes, I actually am very fortunate. I'm really, you know, very, very thankful. I get a lot of referrals from gynecs and urologists. So gynecs will work with women who have pain, and men generally go to urologists. Mm-hmm. So when they realize it's not a physical problem, say if it's an emotional or psychological barrier or fear that's causing the pain, then I get referrals. So I do.
There is also concern about physical mismatch, Dr. Martha. I mean, often we don't even talk about this, but it happens. How do couples get accustomed to a physical mismatch?
So, you know, they always joke and say that when the couple lies down, everything is equal, whether it's tall guy or short woman or big or fat or, you know, mm-hmm. Body built. But if the person has a small build, they tend to have a smaller vagina. And even though vaginas are, you know, they expand and they can swell up to several inches mm-hmm. When the woman is aroused, but if she has a very small build and the man is much bigger, that can cause pain to the woman. So the position can help. Even being able to stand, sometimes age of bed can help. Say, for instance, if the person has a medical condition as well and blood flow can be a problem mm-hmm. to the penis. So standing, even people of certain conditions, not even physical mismatch, say if a person is pregnant or a person is obese or a person has back pain. So there are some positions that can really help them to feel more comfortable because, you know, when you have any kind of pain, whether it's an ache, that can cause problems with, say, the erection or desire or arousal. And then maybe that can cause even more pain.
You know, for pelvic conditions, do the Kegel exercises help in situations like this to reduce the pain?
Yes, with pelvic pain, especially, say, with the relaxing of the muscles of the vagina, Kegels really help because it's about learning how to contract and relax the pelvic floor muscles. And when you can control those muscles, you can manage pain better by being as relaxed as you can be.
But you need to do Kegel exercises the right way. A lot of us end up doing it the wrong way. We need to exercise the right muscle, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not hard to do Kegels, actually. A lot of people think it's very difficult. I think the more you read about Kegels, the more confusing it can be mm-hmm. for people who don't know. And I certainly found it very confusing when I was first learning how to teach people how to do Kegels. Even I was very confused.
Yep.
So I often say it's just what you do to hold back your pee when you can't find a toilet. So that's motion of holding back your pee. But you don't have to do it when your bladder is full. You can do it when it's empty. Just remember what you do when you're trying to hold back your pee. Just squeeze and let go. So you can do it quickly. You can do as many as you can quickly. You can squeeze and hold. So I call that the first one frequency, the second one duration. So holding between 3 to 15 seconds. And then the third one, I describe it as intensity, squeezing really hard. So if they can start just doing frequency, in duration, intensity, just varying it, within a few weeks, they will start noticing and they'll become very sure that, oh yeah, it's really moving. Mm-hmm. I'm not imagining it's moving. And I'm noticing after some time that it can get stronger. So this is when people get more confident that they're doing it the right way. But actually, it's very easy to do as long as your floor, you know, your pelvic floor, as long as your butt is even moving as you're contracting the muscles, they're doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Are there specific times of the month in which a woman may feel more sensitive to pain?
Yes. So, for instance, when there is the swelling of the uterus just right before the period, a woman can feel much more sensitive to his motions. Even like thrusting can cause the cervix to clam up because mm-hmm. it's already sensitive. So that's also heightened sensitivity after ovulation in the ovaries. So sometimes the pain is not even in the vagina. It could be at the side, the ovaries. It could be stomach pain. A woman who doesn't know her body parts will just feel pain and not be able to describe what kind of pain. Sometimes the vagina can be infected. Say, for instance, if the person has herpes, the cervix can become inflamed if the penis is always, you know, banging at the end of the cervix, the neck of the womb when he's thrusting. So this is what we mentioned just now, physical mismatch, when the man's penis is really much bigger than what her vagina can take, mm-hmm. no matter how aroused she is. So the cervix can become tender and sensitive. Also, when the person has IUD inside her body, so that can cause pain. Mm-hmm. Even pelvic pain, endometriosis, cysts, pelvic inflammatory diseases, pregnancy, all these can cause pain also during sex.
What about skin disorders, Dr. Martha? Can that be responsible for pain?
Yes. So, like, eczema is already like a dull, aching pain, and then there's penetration, there's the rubbing, mm-hmm. that can cause it to become worse.
Menopause has always been associated with intercourse and pain, and lack of lubrication is always talked about. Is that really the case?
Yes. So, it is very common for women who have who are menopausal. Because of their hormones, they have reduced estrogen level, mm-hmm. so it leads to the thinning of the vaginal walls. So if the walls become thinner, it becomes less sensitive. Not only that, they also have lower levels of lubrication and reduced sexual sensation. So this is when, instead of stopping, they should actually not stop being sexual because they have pain, they stop. Because their bodies are going through changes. Instead of allowing their bodies to adapt, they stop being sexual, and that can actually make things worse. So what they can do is incorporate lubrication, use lubricants, start doing Kegels, take more time during sex, maybe even practice with insertion with a vibrator or dildo when they are relaxed, so they can actually really control it without the performance anxiety. Mm-hmm. Then maybe they may want to seek medical treatment, also get consider whether they want to be on HRT or that's hormonal replacement therapy, yep. or maybe even some hormonal cream can help. But some people are really averse to taking anything medical because they are afraid of other complications to their health. Mm-hmm. But if somebody has very, very serious extreme mood swings as a result of menopause and it's really affecting their quality of life, this is something they want to weigh.
Is this a curable problem?
Yes. With some time, with some effort, with seeking the right kind of advice, they can actually work through it quite easily. I think what can happen is they postpone it and then it can develop into a kind of phobia. And maybe something that started off really small ends up becoming a big problem. So it's kind of what we talked about. If they seek help early, then the problem doesn't escalate and become much bigger than it could have been.
But this could be something that, you know, will you will get over post-menopause. Am I correct?
The reality is after menopause, their body has gone through changes. Mm-hmm. So if they push through it, if they continue practicing being sexual in their own time, Kegels, self-penetration, incorporating lubrication, their body adapts. We are actually very adaptable, but because of ignorance, because of not knowing what to do, often a lot of women just say, maybe that's just my body telling me I should stop having sex, mm-hmm. you know?
Which is not really the case.
Yeah, which is not the case. They can adapt.
And what tips would you have for couples, Dr. Martha, who are having this problem, just to conclude?
For couples, they should seek medical treatment for sure. They can go to, say, their GP, and their GP might refer them to a gynae, or for men, maybe a urologist. Don't have to bury it. Even just noticing where the pain is at, being able to journal, like, whether there are different times of the month or different times of the day where they have more pain or maybe certain positions. I think the more details they can bring with them to the doctor, the more useful it can be. And once the medical cause is ruled out, then they may want to go to see a psychologist or maybe even a sexologist like myself.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for joining me today, Dr. Martha.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Dr. Martha Lee, sexologist based in Singapore, on the whole topic of sexual intercourse and pain on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.